The Prophetic Gift in the Gospel Church, Chapter 9, Discerning True Prophets, Section 1. Rules for Discerning True Prophets. The prophet Isaiah, in speaking of the situation of affairs existing in the last days, says, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Isaiah 8, verses 16 to 20. In this scripture, attention is called to a people engaged in restoring the seal to God's law, a people who are waiting upon the Lord, engaged in his service. They are looking for him, that is, they are looking for his coming. This, too, in a time when spirits, professing to be spirits of the dead, are asking the people to seek to them. Some heed that call and seek to the dead for knowledge. But the Lord invites his people to seek to him. That is virtually saying that if they seek to him, he will give them special instruction. They need not seek to the dead, who can give them no information, for neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun, and the dead know not anything. Ecclesiastes 9, verses 6 and 5. Rule 1. Special Instruction. In the above scripture, a rule is given by which all communications are to be tested. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. All communications from the Lord will speak in harmony with his word and his law. Applying this rule to the writings of Mrs. White, I would say that during the last 58 years, I have carefully read her testimonies, comparing them with the law of God and the testimony of the Bible, and I find perfect harmony between the two. Her instructions do not come in to give any new revelation to take the place of the Scripture, but rather to show where and how in these times people are liable to be led astray, to be led from the Word. The position that the testimonies of Mrs. White occupy can be best told in what she herself has written respecting them. The Word of God is sufficient to enlighten the most beclouded mind and may be understood by those who have any desire to understand it. But notwithstanding all this, some who profess to make the Word of God their study are found living in direct opposition to its plainest teachings. Then, to leave men and women without excuse, God gives plain and pointed testimonies, bringing them back to the word that they have neglected to follow. Additional truth is not brought out, but God has, through the testimonies, simplified the great truths already given, and in his own chosen way brought them before the people to awaken and impress the mind with them, that all may be left without excuse. The testimonies are not to belittle the Word of God, but to exalt it and attract minds to it, that the beautiful simplicity of truth may impress all. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, pages 663 and 665. Rule 2. True Prophets. By looking at the testimony of the Apostle John, we find another rule describing the teaching of true prophets. He says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. 1 John 4, verses 1 to 3. Note carefully the foregoing scripture. It does not say, "Whosoever confesses that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh," but "is come in the flesh." That is, that he comes by his Spirit and dwells in us in response to our faith. This, in fact, is the central truth of the gospel. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 3, verse 17, Colossians 1, verse 27. The practical theme found in all of Mrs. White's writings is the necessity of an indwelling Savior if we would make any advancement in the heavenly way. Her writings teach the necessity of Christ first, last, and all the time. As an illustration of this fact, attention is called to her book, Steps to Christ, of which more than 100,000 copies have been sold in English, to say nothing of the thousands of copies in more than 20 foreign languages in which it is now printed. Rule 3. False Prophets. John gives a rule for detecting false prophets, which we designate as Rule 3. Speaking of false prophets, the apostle says, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." 1 John 4, verse 5. This shows that the teaching of false prophets will pander to the carnal heart instead of exalting the self-denying and cross-bearing way. False prophets will teach smooth things instead of exalting the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 30, verses 10 and 11. Anyone who reads even a few pages of Mrs. White's writings can see that they are in the direct line of self-denial and cross-bearing, not of a nature to please a worldly, carnal heart. See 1 John 2, verse 10. Rule 4. Suffering and Patience. In tracing this subject still further, we will take as a fourth rule the words of the Apostle James. "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience." James 5, verse 10. When we read the experience of those ancient prophets, we learn that one of their greatest trials was to see Israel reject or go contrary to the plain testimony borne to them. A brief study of those times will show at once the character of both true and false prophets. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord." Jeremiah 23, verse 16. There is nothing in the writings of Mrs. White to make the reader vain, but, as expressed by another, "I have received great spiritual benefit times without number from the testimonies. Indeed, I never read them without feeling reproof for my lack of faith in God, lack of devotion, and lack of earnestness in saving souls." Surely, then, the effect of Mrs. White's testimonies is vastly different from that of the teachings of false prophets as described by Jeremiah. The prophet tells us also how the false prophets will teach. "They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord hath said, Ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you." Verse 17. As to the nature of Mrs. White's teachings in her testimonies, I will quote the following words from a careful reader. "I find the most earnest appeals to obey God, to love Jesus, to believe the Scriptures, and to search them constantly. Such nearness to God, such earnest devotion, such solemn appeals to live a holy life can only be prompted by the Spirit of God." True and False Prophets Compared. When considering the character of the Lord's prophets in ancient times, the trait of faithfulness in reproving sins, even when surrounded by a vastly superior number of false prophets, is particularly noticeable. Their testimony is not withheld from the highest in authority. Even kings were not exempt from reproof, as is seen in the case of Elijah before Ahab. Because of Israel's departure from the true worship of God, the Lord brought famine upon the land. In response to Elijah's petition, rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months had been withheld. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." 1 Kings 18, verses 1, 2, 17, and 18. Often has the writer heard Mrs. White advise persons as to what they would do, and they would protest that they never would do it. She would say, "If you do it not, the Lord has not spoken by me." Notwithstanding their protest, they did at last the thing they had solemnly declared they would never do.